Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. My name is Jordan Thigpen. Today, I'm just going to be summarizing the book of Lamentations for the 4:12 reading plan. Let's get equipped. All right. Hope everyone is doing good. It's going to be a solo pod today. I'm a little bit behind on the podcast and also preparing for going on a mission trip and going on vacation shortly after that. And so you'll hear some different voices on the podcast in the weeks ahead, which I'm also really excited about. But today I just want to briefly dive into the book of Lamentations and give us just a little bit of framework. There's nothing in this that you couldn't look up on a website like Got Questions or Blue Letter Bible, or there's lots of great ways that you could get trustworthy summaries. But maybe even as an example, I'm going to use a little bit of the summary from a website called gotquestions.org. Let me start with kind of just roughly what I know. The book of Lamentations was written by the prophet Jeremiah. So in our Protestant Bible that probably most of us are holding, if not all of us are holding, it comes right after the book of Jeremiah, and that's just arranged by author. But the book of Lamentations is not a prophetic book. It is not a prophecy, but it's written by the prophet Jeremiah. From what I can remember, and we'll look at this website and it'll kind of remind us, this is Jeremiah was predicting the fall, as looking around and prophesying and then seeing the destruction to Jerusalem by Babylon. That's what's happening in the book of Jeremiah. In the book of Lamentations, the city is now destroyed. It's been conquered by Babylon, and he's lamenting. That's what the book is all about. It is a looking around at the tragedy that's happening in his culture and society and with his people, and he's praying prayers of lament back to God. And so a few things, just from my own reading of it and a few things that stand out, he uses a lot of personification, meaning he takes the city of Jerusalem and he turns it into a person. And he refers to it as a he or a her. So here's Lamentations chapter 1, verse 8. Jerusalem sinned grievously, therefore she became filthy. All who honored her despise her, for they have seen her nakedness. She herself groans and turns her face away. And again, her uncleanness, yada, yada, yada. It's all referring to Jerusalem as a she, and therefore the people of Jerusalem as a she. It's personification. This is poetic language. Nothing overly complicated necessarily about that. But when reading it, it can be like, okay, who is her and who is they and who is we and who are you and that kind of a thing. But that's the context of the book is what helps make sense of it. It's a book crying out with a cry of agony about the destruction of Jerusalem. So a foreign army, to paint the full picture here, a foreign army has come in and has destroyed the city. The walls are torn down. This is literally, again, this is graphic, but there are horrible things happening to women and children. There are people left on the streets begging in poverty and destruction. It's everything that you would imagine the horrors of war to be. And that's what Jeremiah is looking around and seeing. The book is divided into five chapters. Obviously, Jeremiah didn't write it in terms of five chapters, but it can be divided. What we observe in our Protestant Bible is that chapter 3 is the very middle of the book, and in true lament fashion, there is this return of hope and desire for God to restore that which is broken, and belief that He is a good God that loves His people and that He will do. He will deal with his people in a faithful way. All right, so let's look at this website just briefly. The author, okay, it says from gotquestions.org, the book of Lamentations does not explicitly identify its author. Tradition is that the prophet Jeremiah wrote Lamentations. This view is highly likely, considering the author was a witness of the Babylonians destroying Jerusalem. Okay. I think that's it. I mean, it's the prophet Jeremiah, kind of like I said. The Book of Lamentations was likely written between 586 and 575, during or soon after Jerusalem's fall. That again goes along with what's already been said. The purpose of the writing, as a result of Judah's continued and unrepentant idolatry, God allowed the Babylonians to besiege, plunder, burn, and destroy the city of Jerusalem. Solomon's temple, which has stood for approximately 400 years, was burned to the ground. The prophet Jeremiah, an eyewitness to these events, read the Book of Lamentations as a lament for what occurred to Judah and Jerusalem. A brief summary. The Book of Lamentations is divided into five chapters. Each chapter represents a separate poem. So when Jeremiah is writing it, he's writing five separate poems. It's not that he wrote five chapters. I don't know who that will help, but hopefully it helps someone. In the original Hebrew, the verses are acrostic, each verse starting with a succeeding letter of the Hebrew alphabet. In the Book of Lamentations, the prophet Jeremiah understands that the Babylonians were God's tool for bringing judgment on Jerusalem. Lamentations makes it clear that sin and rebellion were the cause of God's wrath poured out. The verse that I just read, Lamentations 1, 8, and 9, that is a poetic accusation of a real reality. It says that Jerusalem's sin was like the filth of, like the filthiness that is associated with prostitution, that Jerusalem and Judah prostituted themselves before foreign gods. And Jeremiah is, the book of Jeremiah, the prophecy of Jeremiah is addressing that. And now God has poured out his wrath on their prostitution or their idolatry, their whoring after other gods. Is there a sexual component wrapped up in the worship of false gods? For sure, but it's poetic language to describe the level of depravity, the level of wickedness, where God has been, this is the God that delivered them from Egypt. This is the God that established them in the first place. This is the God that expressed his presence on Mount Sinai. They have completely forsaken their God. And the Book of Lamentations is lamenting the sin of the people as well as the destruction that's happened. Lamentations makes it clear, continuing to read, makes it clear that...
Sorry.
Yawning a lot today. Lamentations makes it clear that sin and rebellion were the causes of God's wrath being poured out. Lamenting is appropriate in a time of distress, but it should quickly give way to contrition and repentance. That is chapter 3. And that's what I want to focus on. That's the rest of, I'm not going to read all of the Book of Lamentations. It's really straightforward once you get the imagery and the context. But there is foreshadowing. This is the next part. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet for his deep and abiding passion for his people and their city. The same sorrow over the sins of the people and their rejection of God was expressed by Jesus as he approached Jerusalem and looked ahead to her destruction at the hand of the Romans. It's very, 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 very important, very specific application for us today. We should look at the sin of ourselves, the sin of the people around us, the city, the sin of our society and culture, and it should break our heart, knowing that there's punishment that's due that sin. Jesus looked at that in Jerusalem at his time, and he wept over it. Because of the Jews' rejection of their Messiah, God used the Roman siege to punish his people, but God takes no joy in having to punish his children. His offer of Jesus Christ as a provision for sin shows his great compassion on his people. One day, because of Christ, God will wipe away all tears. So that's the foreshadowing. That is the Christological nature of Lamentations. To say that a different way, that is how the Book of Lamentations points us forward to Christ. And what we see in Christ is somebody who sees the sin and brokenness of society, and he lays his life down to save them from their sin, not to approve and applaud their sin. And we should do the same today, knowing that one day Christ is going to return, and he's going to wipe away every tear from every eye, but we point people back to his death, burial, and resurrection, and that being the source of hope in a broken society. So Lamentations chapter 3, Jeremiah says this, I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with blocks of stone. With blocks of stones, he has made my path crooked. Can you hear the cry for help, the sadness, the devastation? What I love and what we should learn in this is that God is happy to hear our prayers of sadness and anger and grief. He wants us to bring it to him. He wants us to take our sadness and direct it to conversation with him. That's what makes it prayer. And so I would encourage, probably for many of us, we don't do that. We don't come with honest feeling to God. We try to wait until our feelings are aligned before we talk to God. But the Bible does not know that reality. It doesn't facilitate that reality. It certainly invites us to be honest about how we're feeling with God. This is where the book begins to turn. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Again, I'm sure and I know there are many people that are going through extremely, extremely challenging and just unspeakable harm and challenge and difficulty and suffering. There's diagnosis, there's circumstances, maybe there's people that have lost children, maybe there's people that have been neglected, abused, molested, assaulted. And I would say all of those horrors are also being experienced in the siege of Jerusalem. That's what I'm saying is that Jeremiah is witnessing all of the same exact things. That's the horror of war. That's what's happening with Jerusalem being sieged and destroyed. And in the middle of that, what Jeremiah, who walks with the Lord and knows the Lord well, just like we are and should be full of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying every believer is a prophet. I am saying what was unique about prophets is that they had the Spirit of God living in them. And what makes us special in the world is we have the Spirit of God living in us. And we should talk this way. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. That's Lamentations 3:24. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. I think what that verse is saying is that the earlier and sooner we can learn how to sit under the weight of God and trust that his burden is easy and that his yoke is light, the better. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord, this is important, for the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. I think that's something that's very important, because I think when we're in the middle of suffering and pain, it's easy for us to assume this is the will of God and that this is the desire of God, or that he's absent, that he's not here, that he's indifferent to our suffering, and nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he causes grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. On the one hand, you could hear that, and my exhortation to you would be to trust the macro, mysterious knowledge and wisdom of God, that he knows things that we don't. He allows things that we wouldn't have the fortitude to allow, but all of it is done with the absolute utmost love and fatherly care that only the God of the universe could have. And there's two things that are in tension in that verse. On the other side of that is that there are seemingly things that maybe we feel are caused, but it tells us very clearly he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. There is punishment for sin. There is there are consequences for our own actions, but we don't just interpret the world through the book of Lamentations. We interpret the world through the lens of all of Scripture. And we look forward to the cross where God gave his only unique Son that whosoever would believe would not perish but have everlasting life. And we can look at the cross and we can see that God desires to save us from sin and suffering. He desires to deliver us from pain and death. And we see a God who entered into pain and death on our behalf. And so we interpret life on the other side of that, and we look forward in faith to Revelation 7:17 that one day, because of Christ, God will wipe away every tear from every eye. So if you're in a place of suffering, the book of Lamentations can be a good friend to you. If you, and all of us will, every believer should take time to dig into and read the book of Lamentations, because one day you will be walking with someone through sin and suffering, through pain and suffering. And having the language of Scripture to be used by the Spirit of God in that moment is a big, big deal. So we love you. Hope you guys have a great October with the 4:12 reading plan, the Book of Lamentations. I would encourage you to not shy away from it. And I'll see you guys very soon.